It's the Local Beat with Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And we welcome in on the hotline the one and only Dave O'Brien again from the Chronicle Telegram. Dave, how are we doing today?
We're good, Rocco. We're doing all right.
Great to hear, Dave. I wanted to start here with a story talking about the budget for the city of Elyria. Those budget talks underway. I believe your colleague Lena Yost penned this one in Tuesday's Chronicle Telegram. And kind of no surprise, reading through the article, there'll be some belt tightening, to steal a phrase from you, before we started recording here today. So, what are the important details to note with this budget?
Well, obviously, with the pandemic affecting a lot of the economy in Lorain County and, Elyria especially, it looks like estimated revenues are down. Elyria Finance Director Ted Pileski projected that for about the first 4 to 5 months of the year, Elyria is going to see a drop in the revenue, the city is receiving. The city fortunately came into 2021 with a carryover of about $6.5 million. That's $2 million higher than what it carried over into 2020 from 2019. So that's a positive there. That's, you usually want to have a strong carryover if it looks like you're facing a reduction in revenue. There were some cost saving measures that were instituted by Mayor Frank Whitfield and his administration. Some federal CARES Act dollars came into the city to help them pay for some things that needed to be done. And just basically city departments, tighten their belts a little bit. The proposed budget was presented to city council on Monday as all part of this. We're looking at about a $3 million drop in estimated revenue from the same time in 2020. Income tax collections were down, by about $400,000 compared with the same amount of time last year. February, there was a little bit of a rebound. In February 2021, the estimated revenue was up about $330,000. That helped kind of offset some of the losses from January. According to Lena Yost's reporting there, a lot of the finance directors tend to be real kind of conservative, because you never know what's going to happen, in the coming weeks and months. So we'll keep on top of that. I know Elena's done a real good deep dive into the budget. You can read all about that in Tuesday's Chronicle.
All right. Yeah, well, good to hear about the rebound in February. Hopefully that trend kind of keeps on moving into the month of March here, which sort of transitions into the next topic I wanted to cover here with you. I know it's kind of tough to keep warmer weather and springtime in mind right now. It's just been kind of crazy with the cold and the snow here in the past couple of weeks. But going back to Monday's Chronicle Telegram, your colleague Dylan Reynolds penned an article about a new baseball league of sorts that features athletes with autism and other disabilities. And that league is actually looking to expand more in our area. So, think we might have some more baseball coming to the area. We're a bit spoiled as is with the Crushers and Indians and everything, but we could have even more baseball in the area. What are the details with this one here, Dave?
Well, this is really cool. And I feel like as a longtime baseball fan, everybody deserves to be excited about pitchers and catchers, right?
Oh yeah.
It's like spring training's gearing up. And this sounds like a really cool program. And Dylan did a real good job on this story. So alternative baseball, wants to increase its presence in Lorain County, and across the nation as well. Its director is Taylor Duncan. He's a 25-year-old from Georgia, and he started this league in 2016, 5 years ago, after after recognizing kind of his own experiences in athletics. He is on the autism spectrum, played in a youth league, and he was talking about character building, fundamentals. And he said it made him feel much more confident, not just as a player, but as a person, to be involved in a league. And it's like the importance of belonging, right? You feel really good when you belong to a team and you can contribute to a team. And that's really kind of cool. Taylor said, he was cut from a different team by one of his coaches. In high school, he was on a slow pitch softball team, but there were still some like negative perceptions about, about the players and about the kinds of things that he was going through personally. So he then moved on, to a church league. They ended up in their championship, and he was just inspired to form alternative baseball. And it follows the major league rules. They use wooden bats. Base stealing is allowed. You have to be 15 years or older to participate, with no maximum age. You know, volunteers, you know, help staff. Managers have to have insurance. Players pay about like $38, $40. They have to buy their own uniform if they're not sponsored, or if the team isn't sponsored. And, you know, right now, you know, there's about 20 teams in 14 states, or there were before the pandemic, I should say. And there's now 82 teams in 34 states.
Whoa.
In part due to increased media attention. So the closest teams right now to the Elyria market are in Hilliard, Ohio, and up in Flat Rock, Michigan. So Taylor Duncan said that you know, he's looking to get some more volunteers to form a team around Elyria. Needs a volunteer coach or manager. So if anybody out there is interested, they can go to alternativebaseball.org. That's alternativebaseball.org to fill out forms and to learn some more about the program. Which like I said, just sounds really kind of cool. I mean, I like, you know, I sometimes like going to, you know. You know, when it's warmer in the spring and you like to take a walk, you know, go down to the ball fields and, you know, watch the kids play. And it's just kind of fun. Like, that, you know, baseball's for everybody, right? Everybody can watch. Most everybody can play, you know, and it's just fun to see, you know, fun to see kids enjoying the game and developing a lifelong love of, you know, of the national pastime.
Yeah, this is a very cool thing to see. Hopefully they are able to expand within our area. Certainly plenty of room for a team here. And yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Dave. When it's, you know, the weather gets a little warmer and nicer and you just walk by a ball field, you just stop and watch for a couple minutes, you know, even if it's not kids you know or anything. It's just fun to take in the game. And so very cool to see this alternative baseball league expanding in our area. Very cool stuff. So that brings me to what we have upcoming this week, Dave. So what do you and your colleagues over there at the Chronicle have for us coming later this week?
Well, we've got some stuff that's kind of on the down low, so I'm not gonna give away too much, but I'm working on some court cases this week, covering some things that are happening in Lorain County courts. Also have a story that'll be coming up about the Lorain Metropolitan Housing Authority getting some funding from the federal government to continue to serve people who are in public housing and those who might not, you know, otherwise have housing, and to try to just stop the scourge of homelessness and housing insecurity in the county. So there'll be a story about that in all likelihood, and you know, we'll have it in this morning's paper, and you can read more about that.
Dave O'Brien, not playing spoiler here this morning, folks. You got to head on over to the Chronicle Telegram, chronicletea.com, to catch up with the latest. All right, Dave, as we finish each and every interview on the local beat, what do you have for me this week in the way of a scanner story?
Well, I got just an absolutely fantastic one here for you, Rocco. And Dateline Euclid, a disturbance at a pizza place where a woman who was upset with a bad pizza from last night threatened to bring said pizza back to the store and hit the manager with it.
Oh, no.
In turn, it continues, the manager threatened to stab the woman if she came into the store.
Oh, mamma mia, Dave.
Oh, yeah, and that as per usual, is from our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner at @neo_scan on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Wow. Look, I mean, we're not in the interest of stereotyping by any means, but pizza, Italian, folks, that was not Mrs. Nushi out there, okay? That was not my mother. She is not that crazed over the pizza, okay? She makes a great pizza, okay? But I promise that was not one of the Nushi clan, even though we are some hot-headed Italians. So, Dave, thank you for the scanner story, as always, man. I appreciate it, and thank you for the insight out of what you and your colleagues have happening over there at the Chronicle Telegram. Again, check them out, Chronicle Telegram, chronicletea.com. Dave, thank you so much for your time this week. I look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.